When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today is Crash Landing, The Death of Lawn Chair Larry, Brandy.
Excellent.
Are you excited about this topic?
So excited. Do not tell me what an aviator is.
Well, that was nice Brandy time.
No, we haven't got the Brandy time yet because I haven't introduced her. But I will say this is about a would-be aviator.
Yes.
Who wanted to fly, and eventually he achieved his dreams in an unorthodox manner, Brandy.
I'm so excited.
Yes. Let me introduce, before we get started, though, let me remind everyone, we are a adult comedy podcast. We use adult language, so if you're offended by...
go fuck yourself.
If you're offended by adult language...
There we go. No, they're already gone, Timmy. We don't have to tell them anything.
You've not been introduced.
They just slammed the podcast shut.
Like he cares.
They just slammed that computer down, ran out of the room
this
with the hair on fire.
This is why we get bad reviews. And Chuck. I was mentioning to my co-host here before we... I see what they've been doing. They get me angry before we start the
You're
podcast.
You're always angry, Timmy.
And then
You're
come off like an asshole. But what you folks don't hear is what happens before the podcast. Brandy's late. Chuck's
what?
Chuck's running around doing
what?
Anything. You're
no,
late.
No, Chuck's running around.
Not late.
Hold on. This is not what happened before the show. Where's Chuck? Where's Chuck? I come walking in because you just sent me down to my office to print out the goddamn script. I come in here and say, here's a script. Brandy says, I already printed off the script.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's like,
and
we were wondering where you were at. Well, I was down in my office printing out the goddamn script.
Who researched that script? Who wrote that script?
I don't know. Whoever writes
the
shit.
All I'm asking
whoever
you is
writes
the
shit on Wikipedia,
print.
I suppose. I don't know.
That's not true. Not true.
Biggest what? Bitch on this show. I
yeah,
swear.
What the fuck's wrong with you? You ain't had lunch today, have you?
No,
you,
I haven't.
You
man.
Know, you
I'm
need
starved.
A you need a Snickers bar, Timmy.
But they get me upset before
like,
we go on in the air, and then when we go on the air, I jump on them, and then it makes me like I'm the asshole. Where you guys are really
you kind of are the asshole.
You kind of are.
Never
the
mind
asshole,
the fact
Timmy.
That you remember him sitting in your office like the Godfather yesterday, like petting his little cat, going, I don't really care what kind of passion projects you guys do
because you guys there's like 15 different projects you guys are on. This is the moneymaker right here, History Dweebs. We've got the largest audience.
You're
I know
telling
you're
me
off
what
on
to
Envisions
do.
And you're off on Rants and Reasons, but this is the one that has the big audience, and you have to put a little energy into
Look,
that.
I'm going to tell you something, Timmy. I'm like Eric Estrada, okay? Now, he might have made his
Your
fame.
Your punch.
He might have made his fame on Chips, right?
He did.
But he went off and did some independent projects when he wanted to do quality work.
He's selling land in Arkansas.
Isn't he doing reverse mortgages now?
Well, he's selling land in Arkansas. He's advertising for Arkansas.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right. You know.
No, that's the Fonz that's doing reverse mortgages.
You don't understand it. Me and the devil are creative people, Timmy.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't understand it because you never create nothing on this show.
It's not true. We create a warm, welcoming environment.
We do. We
Let
do. If you weren't so goddamn hostile all the time.
Despite you.
Yeah.
Let me introduce a lady who really needs no introduction. She is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. I need to change this back to Penis Lovin' because that was a much better introduction when you were Penis Lovin' Pill Poppin'.
No.
The lady's known as Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
Well, Timmy... I found out this
Thank
morning.
Thank you.
No. Stop. I have an
injury. Fascinating.
I have an injury.
That is some crazy shit.
I'm the dick on this. I'm the dick. I have to have PT on my elbow. Like, bullshit.
You know why?
What do they make you do for PT on the elbow?
I don't know. I have to go have it. I don't know. I don't know.
Why don't you know what you need
I've
to do?
It's got some big long.
Put a straw in that 40 you're drinking all the time, devil. So you don't have to bend the elbow so much.
We got a lot. You know, we see, Colonel, you really should align with me because they pick on you too for being mean to Brandy.
They do.
But
they do.
Because you guys are asshats to me.
No,
because
you're a wretched woman.
Not wretched.
And you're drunk most of the time.
That is neither here nor there.
And you're a mean drunk.
That's neither here nor there.
If you're a happy drunk, we could take it, but you're a mean drunk. So, but no, I could see where you would get a problem in your elbow because you're lifting those 40s back all the time.
Well, you'd think my arm would be stronger.
You got repetition disorder.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Is that the clinical medical term?
Repetition disorder.
And you know what else I got in the mail this week? Chuck can attest to this. I got a little bitty camera that you can put in your ear.
Oh, that's the sweetest one I've ever seen.
You can put it in your ear when you can put up your nose, too, and you can look, and but you can see your eardrum and get all the shit out of your ear if you need to. It's
fucking
amazing.
Night I went
Does it fit in your colon?
I don't know. I would not.
I would like to have a
colon cam.
I'm not sticking my camera in your
colon. It's only got about a 2-foot cord on it,
maybe.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you could probably hook it up to an extension.
It's like holding on to a tampon or something. You know,
one of my friends was having to get a colonoscopy, and I sent him a picture of a do-it-yourself kit, a DIY colonoscopy. It was a little camcorder and about 20 feet of rope and some Vaseline. What more you need?
They really don't. You can do your own colonoscopy.
But Chuck has waxy ears. I, however.
No.
Did you get it cleaned out?
I went last night. I got that soaky stuff that you put in your ears. Then I let it all sit in there.
You put your camera in his ear?
Well, I got little things on it that are
it's
disposable.
Got a disposable cleaner thing. Yeah, she was my own personal physician yesterday.
Yeah.
She's my ENT.
How pretty was my eardrum?
Oh, I will tell you this. Now, she's a wretched woman, all right? Her soul is black as coal. Mm-hmm. But her ears, Timmy.
Pretty clean.
Her ears, no, they're the prototype ear. You could be an inner ear model.
I totally could do that.
Goddamn right you
are
could.
Are they big demand for inner ear models?
I'm sure in certain circles there are.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped because I even got little tools to get all the shit out, and I'm so excited. Nobody will let me do that to him yet, but I'm working on it.
Well, that's pretty disgusting.
It's amazing.
Well, let me introduce a man.
It's on YouTube. I watch it on. I'm an expert now because I've watched hours of it on YouTube.
Well, I'm glad you're using your time productively. You could be researching scripts during that time.
I am.
Looking
at
other people's ears.
I know, but it's so satisfying. It's like popping a big zit. Watch that too.
Speaking of a big zit.
Right.
Let me introduce a man who is who's really the moral compass of our podcast.
He is not.
A man who is known as an oasis in the desert of despair. He's been described as that.
No.
The very honorable, the Reverend, the Colonel. Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm good, Timmy, and I'll tell you why I'm good. You know why I'm good, Timmy?
Why is that, Colonel?
Because I'm the goddamn Colonel.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
Whatever.
I'm the Colonel, goddammit.
Are you excited to talk about? Is this, by the way, this guy was Larry Walters. Is he in relation to you?
Actually, you know how
he is.
People call me Hawk Walters.
Yeah.
Well, we used to call him. He was the original. He's Eagle Walters, Timmy.
Yeah, okay. Well, this guy is an idiot. But
and you'll see why we call him Eagle Walters.
Okay. Let me tell you about Larry Walters, Brandy.
Oh, okay.
Could I listen?
He dreamed. You can. You can. I thought you already knew since you know.
Well, I do, relative. But I just want to make sure you get it right.
Okay. Larry Walters.
I'm a fact checker. Fake news.
Who may or may not be related to the Colonel.
He is.
Always dreamed of becoming an aviator. He would eventually achieve his dream in an unorthodox manner, Brandy. You got shades on. That kind of scares me. What are you doing with
aviators?
Sunglasses?
She's getting all
They're
diva.
They're aviators.
She's getting all diva on us.
I'm like Bono.
Aviators, aren't they?
Really getting into this.
I'm like Bono. I'm ready.
Okay. So she's not. She's got glaucoma. She's got guacamole. That's why she always smoking that herb, Timmy.
I see.
Don't worry about that.
Is it because your eyes are bloodshot? That's why you're wearing sunglasses.
I don't know that that's any concern of yours, but let's talk about Leisure Suit Larry here, whatever the fuck his name is.
It's Lawn Chair Larry. Not
whatever.
Leisure Suit Larry. Despite his achievements, Brandy. Larry.
Wait a minute. We're calling this an achievement?
Larry found his fame to be fleeting.
Well, floated away.
This is a story of Lawn Chair Larry Walters. Well, who may or may not be related to the colonel.
Right. Tell me more.
Well, when you learn more about him, you probably think he is related.
He probably is.
Lawrence Richard Walters was born on April 19th, 1949 in Los Angeles, California.
Perfect.
Sunny California.
I got a question about the podcast. I understand that we give their, you know, the year they were born in just to give you some context. Why in the fuck we got to know everybody's birthday?
I kind of like it.
Because this is Timmy's show, bitch, and he'll do it the way he wants.
Thank you, Brandy.
He's a Sagittarius or something. I don't give a fuck if he's a Leo.
Larry was raised by his mother and two sisters, Brandy. A lot of panties in that house.
How come you never say Colonel?
Colonel, Larry had a very happy childhood. As a young child, Larry always dreamed of flying. As a small boy, he read books on aviation. He spent most of his spare time, you can relate to this, Colonel, sniffing glue. No, building model airplanes.
I used to sniff
AKA.
Some glue.
AKA sniffing glue.
That's why you built the model airplane, so you get the glue.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And building flying contraptions, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. He's like the Lost Wright brother.
He is. He was Larry Wright. He attended air shows with his mother as a child and would lay on the roof of the family home and stare at the sky. He tracked flight patterns and became familiar with flight schedules at the local airport.
So he was a nut on a hot tin roof, devil.
I feel like pattern had an extra syllable.
Larry told anyone who would listen, Brandy, that he planned to be a jet pilot someday for the United States Air Force.
Good.
What do you
goals.
Think about that, Brandy?
It's good to have goals.
When he was 11 years old, Larry constructed some wings out of wood and masking tape and tried to fly off his mother's roof.
Sounds
That's
legit.
The dumbest damn thing I've ever
Sounds
seen.
Sounds legit.
He broke his arm in several places.
Didn't see that coming.
No. That's a shocker.
But he was excited about his attempt and told the paramedics that he flown several feet before he hit the ground.
Yeah, goddamn right.
Like one of those cartoon characters?
15 feet straight down. I flew 15 feet.
All right.
It's like Scooby-Doo running off a cliff there for a second. Legs keep moving. Yeah. Nothing's there.
At age 13, you know, I was always amazed by how...
Bra straps?
No. The,
thermoses?
The Roadrunner. The Roadrunner.
Yeah. He's a smart motherfucker.
Well, he was because...
He could paint those little things in rocks.
Yes. If he comes to a dead end, he just paint a little hole and go right through.
And go right through. But then it would never work for
the
coyote.
Yeah, the coyote. Not as wily as his name would suggest.
I feel like if the Wile E. Coyote had a podcast, it would be this one.
Probably.
It would be this one.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Because we...
Like
we
this topic or
tend
this?
Tend to run into walls general. A lot. That's
no,
all.
Well.
Back to Larry, Lawn Chair Larry. At age 13, he visited a Army-Navy surplus store, Brandy.
As one does.
There he saw some empty weather balloons hanging in the store ceiling. And thought that it would be interesting to... be an interesting way to attain flight.
I agree.
When he turned 16, he begged his mother to take flying lessons. But the family did not have the financial means in order to allow him to do that. So he just hung out at the local airfield and did odd jobs.
Well, what do you think about that, Timmy?
I think he's very dedicated to flight.
How?
What do you think about that,
He was the Birdman.
Good. He's like Pooh Bear in the balloon.
All right. I'll leave Larry alone. He had aspirations. Which is more
which, unlike us.
More I can say for both of you.
I like to keep the thing on topic here, but I'll tell you real quick.
Would you? Because that'd be a first.
My father was in Korea. Mm-hmm. He was a meteorologist in Korea. And the way that he would gauge the weather was by using these weather balloons.
Wait, did he just go outside and lick his finger?
Yeah. Well, it was pretty important for the Air Force to know where they could fly and the Navy to know where they could fly. So he launched these weather balloons. And
fascinating.
No, what was fascinating was
when
the first balloon went up.
There's more?
You knew that apparently it became problematic when the first balloon went up and got shot out of the air. You knew to just leave the area.
Yeah, that would be problematic. I learned that from MASH.
Raining steel.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's what my dad did in Korea.
Huh?
That's what my dad did. He would, but he said,
she learned it from MASH. She didn't need to go into service for that.
Yeah.
I have firsthand knowledge.
Watch MASH. You have no firsthand knowledge.
Well, I have passed me down knowledge.
Yeah.
Larry got to know the pilots at the local airfield and on several occasions was taken for rides in their plane. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, he got to fly.
What he had to do for that.
When he turned 18, Larry enlisted in the United States Air Force in the hopes of learning to fly.
Did he have fallen arches?
No. His mother was concerned about him joining the military, though, because after all, this was 1967, and the U.S. was involvement in Vietnam was heating up.
Yeah, Nam.
But Larry dreamed of becoming a Top Gun, Brandy.
We all do.
Nam wasn't no fun, man.
Upon his enlistment in the Air Force, it was discovered that Larry had poor eyesight.
That'll fuck you up.
Yeah, it ruined his flight career. So he couldn't. They wouldn't train him as a pilot because he had
fuckers.
Poor,
you know? Well, you know, here's a funny thing to me. You know, I have a disability.
We know
color blindness.
Right, like
a
dog.
My father was in the Air Force, and I looked into the Air Force when I got out, and that's how I found out I was colorblind. And you know, if you're colorblind,
you looked into the Air Force after you got out
of high school.
Okay. Well, you know, words are important.
Out of jail, out of reform school, out of Boys Town.
Okay.
But that's when I found out I was colorblind. And, you know, there's very few things you can do in the Air Force if you're colorblind.
Yeah.
Apparently, they depend on color a lot.
Yeah. Well, Larry, they depend on eyesight to fly.
Usually.
Yeah.
Bats don't.
Larry served in an air support capacity in the Air Force. Did two tours of duty in Vietnam, Brandy. Received several medals.
Well, good for him.
We say to someone like that.
Thank you for your service.
Yes.
Well, although if he did two tours over there.
Although Larry loved the Air Force, he was deeply disappointed he could not fly.
No. You know, like the rest of us, he has to learn to live with disappointment.
With his limitations.
After leaving the Air Force, Larry began to hatch his plan to pursue his dream. It was around the same time, Charles, that Larry met a woman.
Larry met a woman. There's a country song like that. Larry met a woman.
He met a woman by the name, the woman of his dreams, a beautiful woman by the name of Carol Van Dusen.
Carol Van Dusen?
Mm-hmm. No. Probably German.
Probably.
Von.
Carol.
Nine!
Shared Larry's love of flying.
Well, that's nice.
And she admired his passion and determination. For Larry, it was first time he ever fell in love, and he was smitten, Brandy.
Aw. That first piece of tail is always the one that you hang on to.
The couple would take long walks in the nearby Angeles National Forest.
Forest.
Come on, forest.
They
forest.
Both right. Love nature, and they would hike and picnic in the forest almost every weekend.
You ever think that, does it say anything in your research about them doing the knocking boots in the woods.
Nature's dirty.
Bumping uglies.
They discussed their lives, though, and they planned a life together.
That's lovely.
Mm-hmm. They both loved children and dreamed of having a big family.
Well, that's their problem.
In the evenings, the couple would sit on Larry's rooftop, just as he did as a child, and stare at the stars together.
Aw.
Larry told Carol about his dreams of flying, and the two would hold hands for hours and discuss their future together. They were soon engaged and were planning a wedding.
Lovely.
But before he settled down, Larry wanted to pursue his dream to fly. Mm-hmm. And Carol wanted to help him. So why does this have to happen
before he gets married?
Well, before he settles down, he wants to fly.
Sure. Well, don't we all?
So they hatched a plan.
Uh-huh.
The plan was simple, Brandy.
Did they go down to the Acme store?
Matter of fact, they did.
I love the Acme store.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
they have bouncy shoes.
I'm wearing Acme underwear right now.
The plan was simple.
Acme boxes.
Nice.
It called for Larry to attach himself.
Have a blow up butt.
It called for Larry to attach a couple of helium weather balloons, helium filled weather balloons, to a lawn chair.
Sounds safe.
Then cut away an anchor and float above the backyard a height of about 30 feet for a couple of hours.
Uh-huh.
So that would get this flight thing out of his system.
So what could go wrong?
Well, I can think of so many things right now.
The flight would end. He would to end the flight, he would use a pellet gun to pop the balloons one after another to gently return to the earth.
That is how he got this idea. It was from, yeah, the Roadrunner. Yeah.
It was a Roadrunner, actually.
Larry, now 33,
Jesus,
was living in North Hollywood, California, and was working as part-time as a truck driver, and he delivered stuff for a film production company. He invested his entire savings, $4,000, and then Carol
got more than I do.
Carol pitched in some as
That's
well.
A big chunk of change
in,
right there.
This is in he's a baller. Early 80s, too.
Shot caller.
Yeah, goddamn right.
In the project, purchasing nearly 4 dozen surplus weather balloons from California Toy Time Balloons. That's the
Did
name
that,
of the company.
Because you can't even order those on Amazon at the time. Did that raise eyebrows?
No. So anyway, he got a sturdy aluminum lawn chair.
No, yes.
Right. How Sears. Sturdy? When have you Sears. Ever seen a sturdy aluminum lawn chair?
Never, ever.
Yeah.
You remember those that had that plastic woven shit? Yeah. Everybody fell. Everybody fell in those. Like everyone.
Hold on.
Or was it one of those like lawn, the beach chairs that like stretch all the way out that with the plastic tubes?
Those are nice.
Yeah. Now, still,
I just got to tell
everybody's fallen out of those.
My father-in-law, you know, my stepfather-in-law, Renee's mother's. Yes. Some bitch can drive me crazy.
Yes.
So he comes over our house. We're having a birthday party for the boys or whatever. My backyard has a slope to it.
Uh-huh.
And I see what he's about to do. And But I decide this is going to be amusing, and I tell Taylor, watch this, Taylor. And the man opens up his chair, puts it down on the slope with his back to the slope, devil.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. With no balloons.
Sits in the chair. And the motherfucker rolls 30 feet backwards down my yard into the bushes.
That is very funny.
And then got caught.
And then got caught
he
in the bushes.
He was still tangled up in the chair and the bushes. Stickers. Yeah, it was sticker bushes.
Jesus Christ.
And me and Taylor were laughing so hard, and he got up mad like it was our fault. And I said, don't you understand the basic laws of physics? I mean, you have no idea. This is not my fault. It's not neither the hill's fault, neither the chair's fault. It is simply your fault.
Was it one of the aluminum lawn chairs?
It was.
Yeah.
We laughed because it folded up around him as
oh, yeah.
he started to
oh,
fall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those fuckers will get you. They'll eat you.
And your legs will go through them. Yeah. Attached.
It was the funniest damn thing I've ever seen.
Well, Larry was in the sort of the same. But Larry had the foresight to take skydiving lessons just in case.
Oh, well, hey, that's thinking.
Yeah.
Now, just in case it would go wrong.
That's a good plan.
It's a great plan.
Wile E. Coyote always had a parachute, but it never worked.
It never worked.
The night before the launch, they did a short test flight of the contraption. Larry and several friends met with his girlfriend. The crew inflated balloons throughout the night and rigged them together in a chair.
The crew? There's a crew?
Yeah, he had like, yeah, there was a...
There's
was
a crew?
There's a whole crew of these
the
idiots.
The pit crew.
Jesus.
The pit, they had to have a pit crew.
Well, there's only one guy in the chair, though.
I really have this image of him on one of those, like, hot pink yeah. laid-out lawn chairs.
Houston, we have a problem.
Throwing some sun in his hair. So, copper tone on.
So they hook up the balloons to the lawn chair, and Brandy's going to tell us what happens next.
Dumbass. So at 11 o'clock on the morning of July 2nd, 1982, Larry proudly sat atop his lawn chair under his towering apparatus, christened Inspiration One.
That's a nice name.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Inspiration One, yeah.
It's inspirational.
There was going to be no Inspiration Two, I'm guessing.
I'm just wondering if he had that put on the back of the chair.
Yeah.
Because that'd be sweet.
Spray painted.
Mm-hmm. Not just spray paint. Airbrush.
Airbrush, yeah.
Yes. Four tiers of helium-filled balloons, over 40 in total, rose tall above him.
Oh, that's smart. He didn't have them all in one tier. He had four different tiers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's smart, Randy.
Well,
I think that's probably the only way.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, let's see how smart that is.
The flight plan, in air quotes, called for Walters and his balloons to fly out over Long Beach and 300 miles east towards the Mojave Desert.
Well,
so this some bitch was planning on flying 300 miles.
He wasn't just going to hover. This fucker was taking a road trip.
It was the flight plan. You know,
I thought he was only supposed to go 30 feet.
Yeah, I thought he was
going to
hover.
I think the problem is he can't control it once he gets up there.
You think that's the problem? You think that might be the motherfucking problem?
You know what he's like?
I thought he was just going to hover tethered to his fence or something over the yard.
That was a test run.
Well, that's stupid. Larry was equipped with an Altimeter?
Altimeter.
Yeah.
Well, it measures how high you are.
Well, no, I get that. I was spelling it how it was written. Or I was saying it how it was written. A parachute, a life jacket in the event of a water landing.
Oh, that's
prepared.
Good thinking right there.
Well,
yeah.
He was going to go over the beach. So I mean,
I wonder if he had food.
He had a 2-liter bottle of Coke.
Okay, that's all
you need. A 6-pack of Miller, a sandwich, and a CB walkie-talkie.
Get a ham sandwich.
Breaker 19.
Yeah, well, buddy.
This was back when CBs were popular.
But how did he get power from the sumbitch?
I don't know. The battery operator.
Battery pack?
Okay.
Duh.
Yeah.
This is an aviator you're talking about.
Yeah, this is, I never thought of that.
Top Gun. Larry also
MacGyver
had...
here.
Oh, well. And my grandpa used to call it... Larry had a BB gun.
Oh, BB gun? A pellet gun?
A BB gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandpa was a drunk. To shoot the balloons and lower his altitude. He also took a camera, but would later admit to interviewers, "I was so amazed by the view, I didn't even take a picture."
Damn.
You know, there was a story. My mom had a sick sense of humor. She calls me from work one day. She only called me when there was something really sick going on. And she's telling me about this photographer. And she said, "Did you hear the news about the photographer?" And I said, "No." And she said, "He was a photographer. He was photographing skydivers, and he jumped out of the plane with the skydivers, and he was just got so fascinated with the skydivers, the some bitch forgot to pull his cord."
Oh, that sucks.
And the pictures that the camera survived, and you had skydivers pointing to the some bitch trying to tell him, pull your cord.
Idiot.
Oh, but he was so caught up in his craft.
Well, he was caught
kinda
up in
like us when we're podcasting.
And then when he realized that they had pulled their cords and he was, you know, getting
and then it was too late.
It was too late. My mom said he hit the ground at 95 miles an hour.
And then the,
did he live?
And then the parachute goes up.
You know, that's what
that would
have
be
you
me.
Ever noticed with Wile E. Coyote on a, like when he gets a parachute, he'll come down at like 120 miles an hour. And then the parachute will open like 4 feet from the ground.
And he floats.
And no, he floats for just a second. It stops him. And then he goes from 0 to 120 in like 6 feet and hits the ground at 120 miles an hour.
Like Bugs Bunny when he's in an airplane that's going to crash. And right before
he just
ground,
jumps off.
Yeah. Oh, it runs out of gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Continue, Brandy.
So.
Enough of this nonsense.
Tethered to the ground via 3 lines tied off to the bumper of a Jeep. There we go.
Well, that's going to hold you down.
Mm-hmm.
Walters waited with breathless anticipation as the ropes were to be cut. But after Carol cut one of the tethers holding the craft earthbound, the other two ropes snapped. Larry hadn't realized how powerful the buoyancy of the balloons were.
Never underestimate the buoyancy of balloons.
Well, yeah, Larry and his balloons. Lawn chair were rocketed skyward. His eyeglasses were ripped from his face.
Oh, now I can't believe he didn't think ahead of time to put the little
goggles
elastic
on.
Strap around there.
Well, Walters.
He wasn't expecting it to take off.
And remember, this motherfucker got poor eyesight, so he can't even do shit. He don't know.
I know. That's a problem.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Problem. It's a problem, Brandy.
It's a problem when you're flying. He didn't have echolocation.
Problem when you're flying blind.
It gets better. Walters, a North Hollywood truck driver with no pilot or balloon training, was soaring upwards at an alarming rate when he had expected to attain level flight at merely 100 feet above the ground.
How high did he go, Brandy?
I don't know. Hold on. We're getting there.
Yeah, you'll get to it.
All right. Using his CB radio that he carried aboard the lawn chair with him, he radioed his girlfriend on the ground.
What the fuck?
Well, hold on. Carol says, "You're going to be directly over us, so in about a minute or two, so look down and see if you can see us." And he says, "Okay, I'll be looking for you." And Carol says, "We can already see your balloons. Maybe when you get over... You're gonna go into some blue stuff. Can you see like the sky?"
Carol wasn't
Carol wasn't splitting Adam down there.
"Can you see us down now? Can you see us?" Walter says, "Carol, I'm almost 6,000 feet over. I can't see much of anything." Laugh. I don't think it's that funny.
I can see the whole continental United States.
Except for a lot of houses.
He got over 16,000 feet, which is pretty far.
"Can you let me have this? I'm fucking this chicken.
I'm holding it for you, girl.
He fucking takes it away from me. I might as well nut somewhere else."
Continue, please, Brandy.
Fucker.
What do you think about that, Timmy?
Yeah. Continue. Larry was ecstatic. He was flying higher than he ever dreamed possible. Here we go. Fearing that he might unbalance the load, he did not dare shoot any balloons with his pellet gun. Instead, he spent about 2 hours aloft and soared up to 16,000 feet over 3 miles high.
It's got to get pretty goddamn cold up
you
there.
You have to be like colder than a witch's tit up that high.
Oxygen would have started to run out.
Passenger jet? They would fly about 30,000 feet.
30,000. Yeah. That motherfucker could have got run out. A plane coming in landing would have hit him.
Yeah, he runs into that problem.
Well, here we go. Are you kidding me right now? Are you fucking kidding me?
He's the one who said it.
But I didn't know.
All you have to do is say, "Let's see." Don't have to sit there and go, "Well, we ran into that."
Let's see.
I'm just going to give it all away now. Fuck it.
What happens next, Brandy?
Well, I don't know. Let's see.
You know what he does? You know what we're going to start calling him? Money shot.
Yeah.
Because
he takes all the money shots.
He's only here for the money shot.
Believe me, you're not the first to call me that.
I bet we are. All right.
Brandy, stop the podcast and get your phone.
You know what? I just got to make sure it's not one of my kids. Shut up. All right. So, from San Pedro, Larry and his balloons began to drift over Long Beach and crossed the primary approach corridor of the Long Beach Airport.
That's when you got problems.
Airline pilots for both TWA and Delta reported seeing him over the control tower at the Long Beach Airport. Knowing that this was possible, Larry used... Well, because he's planned for this.
I'm just wondering what those pilots was going through their
mind. What the fuck? That's what's going through their mind. What the fuck? Larry used his CB radio and using Channel 9... That is the emergency CB radio channel for all those that
the
wondered.
The official ones.
Attempted.
I'm going to get me another CB.
Well, he's attempted to notify the tower. The conversation was recorded by the Crest React Radio Emergency Associated Communications Team in Corona, California. And it goes a little something like this. React. What information do you wish to tell? What information do you wish me to tell them, the air traffic control, at this time, as to your location and your difficulty? Well, it's pretty fucking difficult. Walters, the difficulty is that this was an unauthorized balloon launch, and I know I'm in a federal airspace, and I'm sure my ground crew, whatever, has alerted the proper authorities. I bet they haven't.
That's probably before 9.
But just call them and let them know I'm okay. The fuck? They don't care if you're okay.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say you're okay until you're landed.
Yeah. In disbelief in what they were hearing, the crew at React asked further questions of Walters.
Well, that begs some questions.
Well, sure. React. What color is the balloon? Walters. The balloons are beige in color. I'm in a bright blue sky, which would be very highly visible.
The lawn chair.
React. Balloon size? Walters. Size approximately 7 feet in diameter each.
Holy shit.
And I probably have about 35 left. Over. React. You're saying you have a cluster of 35 balloons. Walters. These are 35 weather balloons.
That's a big difference.
Not a single balloon, sir. Dumbass.
You offend me, sir. Yeah.
It is 35 weather balloons.
Yeah.
Larry spent the next several hours floating around the Los Angeles basin. Helicopters were sent out to investigate and to confirm the unidentified flying object 16,000 feet above the airport was indeed a man in a lawn chair.
Yeah, this is Skybird the Tower. We've got a man in a lawn chair.
Oh, here we go. He was so amazed by his magnificent view that he forgot to take any pictures. He did have a beer or two, however, and ate his sandwich. But Larry was not dressed for such a high altitude. Shivering in the thin air, Larry finally used his pellet gun to start popping balloons in order to lower his altitude.
At what point do you just pass out? I mean,
I don't know. Descending.
I thought the colonel would know the answer.
Well, of course, but he's not paying attention.
It wasn't not roughly about 19,000, depending on where you're at. But roughly, it's going to be about 19,000 feet when you get to an oxygen level. Your blood level oxygen is going to go down to about 82%. You're going to lose consciousness.
Thank you, Colonel. That's why he's on the show, Brandy.
Mm. All right. So Larry starts popping balloons with his BB gun.
Okay.
Descending, he aimed as best he could to land at the Virginia Country Club in Long Beach. But he descended short of the golf course and headed into a residential neighborhood.
I just think it's astounding that he could actually hit the balloon, you know, shoot.
Well, it's not that fucking far away. Jesus Christ.
But, you know, that it would penetrate the balloon, because those things are pretty heavy.
I don't know. All right.
Yeah, they're thick canvas.
Yeah.
The part that was scary was the last 300 feet with the rooftops.
Yeah, that last 300 feet is kind of
scary.
That's
a bitch. Watch your step. And telephone poles.
That last foot. Depending on how fast you're going.
Yeah.
With the rooftops and the telephone poles coming up so fast, Larry was praying that he didn't hit one of those power lines and be fried or sizzled.
Fried Larry.
Fried or sizzled.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather be fried than sizzled.
But, you know, that would be disconcerting.
Well, you know. Larry.
You think he would have thought that through when he was going through his plan.
Well, here we go. Larry.
You keep saying the word plan. And I think we need to put air quotes around.
There's air bunnies right around that.
Okay.
Let's see. Larry started dumping the gallons of water tied to the chair to slow the gadget's landing. But on the way down, his balloons draped over a set of power lines. Larry was left dangling 5 feet off the ground. The police had to shut down electricity in the Long Beach neighborhood for 20 minutes in order for Larry to safely exit his homemade craft.
You know, he was really lucky.
He was in an aluminum lawn chair.
Yep.
That's a pretty good conductor right there.
He went down and into the backyard of a house in Long Beach. He was immediately arrested by waiting members of the LAPD.
I wonder if, did he have a seatbelt on the lawn chair?
I guess he was locked.
No, they didn't have seatbelts on anything in the 70s.
I know.
Let's see. When asked by a reporter why he'd done it, Walters replied, "A man just can't sit around." This motherfucker wasn't riding a bicycle in the air. That's exactly what he was doing, was sitting in a lawn chair, legs crossed, smoking a cigarette, eating
drinking
a sandwich.
A Coke, Budweiser.
Yeah, drinking his Miller, chilling.
I bet he had a liverwurst sandwich.
That sounds like quite the adventure.
Well, it was not as amusing for some people as it was for others, Timmy.
Okay.
Now, the Federal Aviation Administration,
they frown on that.
They were initially baffled by this incident.
I bet they were.
The regional safety inspector, Neil Savoy, reportedly said, "We know he broke some part of the FAA Act, and as soon as we decide which part it is, some type of charge will be filed."
You just can't go flying your...
willy-nilly. You can't fly your lawn chair willy-nilly. Right. You got to have some permits.
Right, exactly.
And it wasn't long before the local press and the national press got in on this, and Larry had been catapulted, metaphorically, unexpectedly and unprepared, much like his flight, from obscurity to national fame. And for a time, he hired an agent to handle the deluge of interview requests.
No, an agent.
He was popular, Brandy.
What? Was he more popular than Captain Kangaroo?
I think he was.
Mm. Yeah. But for unexplained reasons, he decided that was a bad idea. "No more agents," he said. "I am on my own. Everything happens so fast, and so many people come to me saying, 'We're looking out for you. I'm going to handle everything from now on.'"
Oh, he had a lot of hanger-on.
One-to-one. That's me. That's fair.
And we have that problem in the podcasting industry. Everywhere I go, women just want to kiss me right on the mouth.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, you're not with me all the time. Yeah,
that's true. I am not.
Now, in December of 82, he was accused of FAA committing several violations, and some that they actually probably wrote just for him because they were never prepared for a lawn chair balloon guy.
Well, you just don't anticipate someone flying around in a lawn chair, Colonel.
Well, he got including operating a civil aircraft for which there is not currently, in effect, an airworthiness certificate.
They didn't think it was airworthy?
Well, clearly it was. It made it up to 36,000 feet. I believe that will be 16,000 feet. When I would have gone to court on that one, Timmy, I would have said it's self-evident that it was airworthy because it got me up to 16,000 feet.
I think you would have won, Colonel.
Well, he said if the FAA was around.
He said what?
Hold on. Listen to this. If He's the defined. FAA was around when the Wright brothers were testing their aircraft,
Jesus,
they would have never been able to make their first flight. Why in the
He's
fuck?
He's got an argument there, Brandy.
Why the fuck would you have an FAA? Do we have a Martians administration,
Brandy? He's got an argument.
We all do.
It's not a good one, but he's got one.
Despite his punishment, he did not rule out the possibility of another flight. He said, we've been looking at the Bahamas and a couple other possibilities. It depends on whether or not I can get somebody to finance it, because I sure can't.
He dropped his $4,000, his life savings on that flight.
Now, he appealed the violations and admitted to only one of the charges, not establishing and maintaining two-way contact with airport control tower. According to the FAA, the flight was potentially unsafe, but Walters had not intended to endanger anyone, so they reduced the fine down to $1,500. Several of his deflated 6 feet wide balloons were signed by Walters, given to neighborhood children. The lawn chair was given to a local boy, although Walters later admitted he regretted doing so because the Smithsonian asked him to donate
it. He gave away his plane.
Good Lord.
Years later, the boy who had the chair donated it to Ripley's Believe It or Not in San Diego. According to the ballooning magazine, Larry Walters had inadvertently set a world altitude record for flight with a gas-filled cluster of balloons, breaking the old record of 3,740 feet. He shattered that sumbitch.
Well, yeah.
But it could not be officially recorded because his lawn chair lacked an altimeter with recording capabilities.
Oops.
And the fact that the flight was unsanctioned at the time.
Well, he was only planning on going 30 feet, so.
Despite his newfound fame, Timmy, things did not go well for Larry.
Oh.
For a brief time, he toured as a motivational speaker after his flight. This motherfucker.
But he is pretty motivating, Brandy. You have to admit that.
Yeah, Brandy. He motivates you to get back on your goddamn meds. But he is following Larry's amazing flight. We're not kind to him, Timmy. He quit his job as a truck driver. He was never able to make much money from his fame, and he found only sporadic work as a security guard. Larry received the Bonehead of the Year prize in February from the Bonehead Club of Dallas for his misadventure, as well as accepted invitations to appear, and he accepted invitations to appear on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and The Late Night Show with David Letterman.
Yeah, snapping that shit up.
In September of 82, he told a reporter from the United Press that he vowed never to do it again, but a group of San Diego businessmen, having offered him a substantial amount of money to fly a new lawn chair airship to be called the Spirit of San Diego. But nothing became of that venture. It was not until 1992 when Timex recognized Larry in an advertisement based on adventurous individuals that Walters even broke even on this stunt.
Yeah, that commercial, you can see it on YouTube.
Despite his personal appearances on the Timex commercial, he never recovered the initial $4,000 he invested in. You know they only give you like $150 for being on The Tonight Show. You don't get a lot. That's why I never go back.
I don't think they pay you, do they,
Brandon? Yeah, they give you like $150.
When you've been on The Tonight Show, do they pay you?
No, she was on Cinemax, Timmy. You get paid for that. But anyway... Larry Walters never found happiness, Timmy. Never found. He had his.
Wait a minute. Let that sink into Brandy. He never found happiness.
Never found happiness, Brandy. Never.
Never.
He found happiness 20,000 feet in the air with his beer and his sandwich.
Well, because his glasses were down in the ocean and he couldn't see anything.
Plus, he had, you know, he was over the airport.
Yeah. Now, he was.
It was cold.
He remained unemployed for long stretches.
Now,
much
why,
like
why can't he find a place in society, Brandy?
Much like
I don't know.
Much like your future husband, Lanny, he stayed unemployed.
Larry was related to Lanny.
But in 1990, his soulmate and his girlfriend of 15 years, Carol, broke off their engagement.
No.
Well, hold on now, and I'm doing the math in my head. I don't know that you could call someone your soulmate if you're engaged to him for 15 years.
It was a long engagement.
Well, married
that
a woman
a
and maybe
engagement.
She...
Well, he can get a job.
Well, he could have still married her. It cost like $50. But anyway, Larry is, of course, devastated by losing Carol.
Well, sure.
It's going to be how you're devastated when Dave walks out the door on you because you're wretched.
She's going to have what we end up with Lanny.
Well, yeah, but she's going to be devastated for a while until she finds Lanny.
Yeah.
And then Dave's going to be with somebody looks like, you know, they're doing the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Well, he actually deserves that. So
he does deserve that, actually, yeah. So anyway, you're putting up with your cooking and whatnot. But anyway, the only time.
What's your favorite dish to cook, Brandy?
I cook lots of things.
Frozen cornflakes.
Frozen cornflakes? Frozen cornflakes. Is that even a thing?
It's a West Side thing.
Yeah, that's clearly.
That's why he puts his cornflakes in the microwave.
We can't afford milk in the West Side, so we just freeze our cornflakes and use the condensation. And,
I see. Huh.
Yeah, it's very, very lovely. Very Acme-like. The only time Larry left his mother's house was to work as a volunteer for the United States Forest Service in the San
his
Gabriel Mountains.
Yeah,
I feel Larry's in the basement.
Yeah,
he spent so many hours alone in the forest. And staring at the stars, and like he and Carol had done together on so many evenings. On October 6th, Timmy, Larry hiked alone to him and Carol's favorite spot in Los Angeles, in the Angeles National Forest. He marked a few passages in the Bible, and he took out a pistol and shot himself in the heart, Timmy.
Shot himself in the heart.
In the heart, devil. Right through the heart. That's what a woman can do to a man. Put a hole right through his heart. She put a metaphorical hole in the heart. He put a real hole in the heart.
Yeah, that's what women will do for you, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. When you don't just rip them out of her chest, stomp them down on the ground, and grind them up, and then cook them and eat them and whatever you do with them.
What the fuck, Hannibal Lecter?
Are you talking about heart or testicles?
Well, both. Both.
No, I keep those testicles up on the mantle.
She has Testicle Tuesday. He left no suicide note. He was only 44 years old. His remains are interred in Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cemetery.
Oh, God.
Now,
just tell me somebody ties balloons to his headstone.
He had no children. It survived by his mother and sisters. But the flight of his, it was not totally forgotten. Such an unlikely set of circumstances made for too tempting a tale by storytellers, propelling the anecdote from fact into urban legend. In 1977, Larry Walters was awarded a Darwin Award.
A Darwin Award.
I do not have a super employee award, but I do have three of those.
I bet you do.
So anyway, the awards have been presented since 1991. And as Walters had survived his nominating feat, he was ineligible to receive the award, but nevertheless garnered an honorable mention.
Aww. Oh.
However, several authors, including George Plimpton, had found inspiration in the tale of Larry Walters' flight. They regale others of the tale of an earthbound man who had set a simple goal and attained it through the perseverance and sacrifice of his own sweat, blood, and tears. He was the Winston Churchill of his times.
Is he the Up? Is that what the movie Up is based on?
Yes. It is.
Yes.
On the 20th anniversary of Larry's lawn chair adventure, Flight 202, The Mythbusters, a TV documentary crew tethered a portion to a lawn chair with 16 helium balloons and one for the pilot for one of the pilot episodes of that series.
Wait a minute. Do they use the weather balloons or the...
They used helium balloons.
Well, that's stupid.
I don't think they were legit. In a quest to debunk the urban legend, it was one of the first myths labeled as confirmed by the Mythbusters. So they tried to go in and bust it, and they were like, oh, fuck no. Once a guy hit about 8,000 feet, he's like, let me the fuck down here.
Yeah.
He started shooting it. He took a .22 with him, though. Larry continues to inspire amateur aviators.
I bet he does.
On July 7, 2007, Kent Couch, a 47-year-old gas station owner from America, in Oregon, repeatedly flew 240 miles in his lawn chair. Traveling an average of 22 miles per hour, he used plastic bags filled with 20 gallons of water as ballast against the large 105 balloons tied to his lawn chair.
How do you, go to the bathroom?
Well, you just let it go.
Yeah, you just let it go.
Here's my question.
Consider it for the people.
What about that? Do you remember those people a while back that they said that?
Get down the street.
And see a guy in a lawn chair? It'd be amazing.
No, walking down the street to a big old human turd.
Okay, now I want you to.
Here's the thing.
See, I always wonder about that with the airplane toilets. Does it just fly out the side and then, like 38 miles north, somebody gets just hit in the head with a loaf?
With blue eyes.
Is that what happens?
First of all, people should not be shitting on an airplane. Second of all, I think if you're sitting in a lawn chair, again, wait till you get home to shit. That's only polite.
Wait,
you have to put a bag underneath the lawn chair.
Who's going to yell at you?
It's inconsiderate, I think, is what she's saying. No one.
It's way inconsiderate. But is this... So wait a minute. Did remember the people a couple years back
How would you wipe it?
Look, I can't take care of everything. Well, you lean to one side.
I mean, I don't know how you do that. I mean,
you have to bring toilet paper.
You'd have this celebration when you land all of a sudden, but you soiled yourself. It's not a. But here's where it gets good, Timmy.
Okay.
You remember the Flying Nun?
Yes, Flying Nun.
Well,
yes.
They decided to do one better here.
Okay.
A Brazilian Roman Catholic priest and human rights defender, Edilar Antonio de Carli, lifted off from Ampere, Brazil, suspended under 600 helium-filled party balloons.
Yes, cluster ballooning is a thing now, I guess.
And reached an altitude of 17,400 feet before landing safely in Argentina.
What?
You're getting through customs a bit.
Don't cry for him.
What?
It's hard to explain to the customs official.
No, it's just... So anyway, on April 20th, lifting off from Brazil in an attempt to fly 725 kilometers inland to somewhere else in Brazil.
About 450 miles.
He flew using a chair suspended under 1,000 party balloons, reaching an altitude of 20,000 feet. dumb sumbitch didn't check the weather forecast, though, and he got caught in a storm.
You need to always, you have your weather app.
Yeah. Andy.
Yeah. So, but he was a priest, so he just said, Jesus, take the chair.
Well,
Jesus, take the balloon.
Jesus, take the balloon.
Do you remember, I don't know, it was 10 or so years ago, those people said that their little boy had gone up in a in a weather balloon or whatever.
Yeah.
Falcon was his name.
Yeah.
Stupid name, by the way.
Yeah, that was a that was.
Was that a balloon?
No,
I know the little boy wasn't in it, but was it supposedly like a weather balloon? Was it a weather balloon or just like a regular balloon?
It was a regular air balloon.
Okay.
Hot air balloon.
I can't remember.
But I came on that story when I was researching this, and yeah, that was all fraud. That kid.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Little kid.
So anyway. Padre here. He didn't check the weather forecast.
Did he die?
Brandy always check. Next time you go up in a lawn chair, check your weather forecast.
He got caught in a storm.
Go in a lawn chair. I will.
There was lightning. There was rain.
Wind.
He was blown all over. It was scary. But luckily, fortunately for him, devil.
Did Jesus take the wheel?
He had a GPS.
Ah.
He's got a GPS, but he don't have a fucking weather app.
Unfortunately for him, devil, he did not know how to operate it.
Huh. Unfortunately, he was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Huh.
Part of his body was found by the Brazilian Navy near an offshore oil platform on July 4th, 2008. The act won him a 2008 Darwin Award.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Adios, Padresos.
That's it. Now, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on the death of Lawn Chair Larry?
It's kind of a sad life.
I'm going to give it a shot.
But he achieved his dream?
I guess. And then
can you stay the same?
And well, clearly I can. Sitting here with you jackasses, clearly
a lot
I
of people
can.
Think we pick on you a lot.
You do. You're awful people.
But you really love us, right?
What am I supposed to say here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
No, they think we
I love you
they
guys.
Think we're mean to you.
Especially
really
the colonel.
Right?
You are mean to me.
Yeah, but you're mean to us.
No.
Chuck?
You're mean to us, though.
No.
You know, you quite often
I'm,
you're mean to
I'm
me.
I'm not.
You make fun of my dead mother, devil.
I don't.
You said his mother's
God rest
dead.
Her soul.
You tell him his mother's dead all the time.
All the time you remind me of my mother's dead. My father, my brother, my sister.
He's an orphan, and you make
sometimes you call me Little Orphan Chucky, so that's mean.
You know who we do love, though? Those are the people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or?
Just a wee tiny bit.
Or just a wee tiny bit to me.
Brandy is going to give a shout-out to all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon.
Well, first of all, I want to say, I'm going to start with Stephen Potts, and let me tell you something. Poor Stephen. Tim has told me for 3 weeks now that your name is Stephanie, which is why I said
you're projecting blame to me.
Which is because it's your fault.
No, that's incorrect,
it
Stephen.
Is. You told me Stephanie today. Stephanie Potts
now,
is a sponsor.
If you would, and this is, you know, I'm not telling you how to live your life, devil.
You're always telling me how to live my life.
Why don't you come to the fucking Facebook page once in a while and you know some of these goddamn
yeah,
people.
Yeah, you've been kind of absent on the Facebook group. The colonel and I are very active.
Oh, goddamn, my back hurts from carrying you on that page.
We would invite all of you listeners to join our Facebook group. There are a bunch of great people there. History Dweebs,
not everybody's great there. Some
of
them are pretty nice.
And they have breasts, most a lot of them.
And some are spectacular.
Yes.
All right. Are we done?
Yes.
Okay. So, Stephen Potts.
Stephen Potts.
James Seabright, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stafford, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savota, Maggie Glover, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja, Tyrone, Amber Scoville, Marsha Boris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us with Ben and Rosanna. Anybody? Anything this time?
I love it. They,
they're up for an award.
They're up for an award.
Yes. Best
no, they weren't.
Do we get to vote for it?
They were. Yeah. They were listed in the top 12 podcasts of 2018.
No, but Insight.
Insight is up for an award. You need to go to our page, look and
vote for our
find
friends,
a thread and vote
Allie
for
and
them.
Charlie.
Cool. Lorna Violet, Mike Deo, Kelly Charette, Wow. Karen Widner, Callie, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, The Pleasing Terror Terrors Podcast with Mike Brown, Ben, Jennifer Riker Smith, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, The Now American History Podcast with Joe Hopkins and Sean.
Sean.
I don't know why that escapes me all the time. Hi, Sean. Catherine Cock Garage Richardson, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, The History Goes Bump Podcast with Diane Student, Annette Petre, Lise Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and Dawn Chestnut.
Jeff has some nice looking socks.
He does have some sweet, sweet socks. They also have a podcast, Backroads to History and Poems by Jeff. Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, welcome back, sweetie. Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Cindy Liu, Kristen Malachinsky, Amanda Christine, Heather Poole, Adam McWaters, The Vanished Podcast, Canadian True Crime with Christy Lee, Insight with Charlie and Allie, Joe Clifford, Mistress Vader, Ron, Tracy Smith, Jess, John V, Nene, Bridget Bernhard, Stacy, Christine Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, Nicholas, Ryan, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Michelle Johns, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Beth Wallen, Andrew Scamell, Michaela Wallstrom, Aaron Fowler, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Ursula, The Comeback Podcast, Kim Stroop, Joe Clifford, Carol Elise, and what? Hiro. That's the name I'm looking for.
Yes,
Hiro. And, of course, Rudy the Wonder Dog, who gives us a quarter because he has no job.
He gives us a dollar, I think.
Whatever, he still has no job.
And he does have a job.
He does have a job. The lovely Lady Beverly, we hope you're feeling better.
Yes.
And the one, the only, Miss Dottie Scott.
Yes. Colonel, any final thoughts you have before we go?
I don't have – I would just say wear a helmet if you're going to try this at home. If you're going to try this at home, wear a helmet.
So do you think any of our members of our Facebook group will ever win a Darwin Award?
No, but I bet my – and I can tell you, my buddy Clark Trowbridge, because he's up in Michigan – and he's an outdoorsman, you know, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Clark's an outdoorsy kind of guy. I bet you if you double dog dared him, he'd tell you I'd do it.
He'd fly a lawn chair?
Well, he'd only probably go up to 20 feet to show you he could do it.
Until Diane but shot him out of the sky.
Diane shot him down. I get it. Sometimes there was times I wish I could get on a lawn chair and just float away.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, well, there's times Randy and I wish that as well. All right, thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good
bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.